Our scripture, first scripture reading today is Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2, 9 through 16 on page 930 in your pew Bible. This is what the Lord says. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What service and assistance we have here in this church. Thank you. He's going to fit right in. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce my family. I thought this might be an appropriate time. That was my husband, Todd. I don't think they want to stand up. Yeah, they're giving me looks like. His brother and sister are here, my in-laws, Lori and Dave, and I'm delighted they're here. And then my brother, Josh, is here. We'll have you share at some point, too, because, okay. Stop ad-libbing, Rachel. They're all giving me looks here. I have twins. That's Samuel and Rebecca here in that second row, and then Zoe, and they're all the same age.
Wow.
Yes. And then my parents are here, my dad, his wife Nancy, and then my mom and Barry, her husband, some of you saw on Ash Wednesday, and they're watching online today and not feeling good. So that's a lot of family members. As I said the other night when we had soup together, you guys have no idea what you've gotten into with this crew. I mean, it's a lot, and it's really an adventure. So thank you, everybody. There is one more person not here. That's Grace, and she's my oldest. She's 20, and she's doing a guitar recital this morning. So she probably wouldn't like me to tell you that, because then she might have to play or something. So all of these folks in my family seem to know that I would return to church ministry way before I knew that. And my understanding is a couple of you were also praying, and I'll say more in coming weeks, but I am just really blessed to be here. So thank you. So our second scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 10. We'll start at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" The lawyer answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Jesus said, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word to us. We thank you for the gift of community, for Project Homeless Connect, for all of the ways that we hear from you during our time of worship together. We pray, Lord, that you would keep our minds and our hearts open at this time, and may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be pleasing in your sight. Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. There is a lot of discussion these days about who belongs and who does not belong. As we watch the news or we're on social media, or even as you might be with your families over the dinner table, it seems all of us have gotten really good at sorting and categorizing and defining and placing people the way we would like, especially those who are not like us. In the last several years, of course, even families have found these issues and any differences in opinion to lead to divided relationships. If it weren't so sad, we might even find ourselves laughing at the gymnastics we perform so that certain family members and friends and things aren't together when it comes to the holidays or an election season or another time that we might be feeling the weight of all of this. So it seems fitting then to begin a new series today for Lent, and this will take us through Easter, examining some of those categories or dichotomies or binaries that we create in considering where Jesus would speak to them and where God resides in the midst of them. And we begin with stranger and neighbor. And we have some strangers here today who have quickly become neighbors, haven't they? If you're reading along with me in the Gospel of Luke, that's what we'll be in through Easter, so you can read that if you wish. You might already expect where this story is going to go. Jesus has already elevated children and women in the gospel and challenged the expectations of Luke's hearers and readers. And here Jesus shocks them when he shares this very familiar parable to us with a lawyer in the crowd as well as with his disciples. And like any really good rabbi, I'm practicing this. Jesus returns the lawyer's question. He doesn't exactly answer it. Teacher, the lawyer said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what is written in the law and how do you read it? That's a good chaplain too. Jesus appeals to the man's background and the knowledge of the Torah that he has, and the lawyer answers easily. Of course, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the combination of these two different texts already existed in early Judaism, and Jesus in the other Gospels, of course, calls this the Great Commandment, and we're all familiar with it. Well, then Luke indicates that the lawyer wanted to justify himself, he said, and push the conversation a little further. And I think because Luke wrote that in there, he has some thoughts on this legal expert's behavior as well. He asked Jesus who his neighbor is. And Jesus answers a totally different question. And this is where the parable begins. If you were to go shopping for groceries, one place you might choose to go to is Walmart and what they call the neighborhood market, right? What makes it your neighborhood market exactly? Is it supposed to be a more neighborly or friendly experience? I'm not quite sure about that. It's your proximity to Walmart, right? It's proximity to your home and in your neighborhood. These markets differ from their huge superstores where you can buy everything from a raft to candy for Easter to a shirt. And these neighborhood markers fit into tighter areas in your neighborhood. Well, one commentator likens Jesus' definition of neighbor to proximity. As in the Greek, for neighbor, it's one who was close by. But this would have been a much easier question for this lawyer to have answered by Jesus, as the answer is obvious. Care for those who are close to you. That makes sense. If only it was that easy. The lawyer is asking a more complicated question about boundaries. As Luke, who wrote this, is adding a qualifier here, noting the lawyer wants to maybe justify himself a little bit. Attempting to get at who his neighbor actually is, the lawyer is asking how to have eternal life, and Jesus, of course, doesn't directly answer. He's not going to lay out directly who your neighbor is. Instead, he chooses to speak in a parable, inviting this man to live and love in the present beyond boundaries or categories he's established. Jesus describes this man who went down to Jericho from Jerusalem. It was a good 17-mile journey, but it was easy to make that direction because it was all downhill. So you could get that raft from Walmart, you'd go downhill. Somehow you'd make it. There were twists and turns in the road, and it was easy for bandits and robbers and people to kind of hide out and to come upon you. And in the parable, of course, this is what happens. And the man, Jesus says, is left for dead. Now, the Samaritan who comes along isn't an allegory for Jesus saving us when we needed forgiveness from our sins. We're reading that back onto it. That's not what this story's here for. Luke's audience would have heard this story, identifying with the guy in the ditch. His head's throbbing, he's hurting, he's trying to get up, and they would have been absolutely shocked when Jesus says the Samaritan was the hero in the story. On Ash Wednesday, a few days ago, we heard of the Samaritan's denial of Jesus in chapter 9 as they refused what he was about. And the disciples with Jesus asked if the Lord wanted them to command fire to come down and just burn these people up, Jesus. And Jesus is like, that's not really going to be necessary. But thank you. You know, I'd love to see how that works. The Samaritans and the Jews were bitter rivals. They didn't have much to do with each other. And the feelings went both ways. The feelings were mutual. So Jesus says the Samaritan took pity on him. But the word used here is the same for the love the father in the parable of the prodigal son felt when that son came back to him and he ran out and greeted him. It's a little bit more than our understanding of the word pity there. He has compassion. He's moved. He's moved like internally moved. And he not only used oil and wine to clean his wounds and bandage him up, he lifted up this man. Now, I just served with hospice for 3.5 years. Have you ever lifted someone from the ground? There are wonderful people who do this every day, the caregivers, right, in our neighborhoods. He lifted this man, and then he put this man on his own animal, his own donkey, and brought him to an inn, and they both spent the night. This man, the Samaritan, a caregiver for the injured one. The stigmatized Samaritan was his neighbor. One commentator wrote, the priest is the one who sacrifices animals. The Samaritan uses the animal to help. The Levite was the one trained in the law, and the Samaritan is the one who lives out the law of love. There's a local organization here in the Portland area whose mission's really simple, and it's to help relieve the stress of single parents undergoing cancer treatment. Simple, wonderful. They ease daily responsibility for these folks by offering rent or mortgage assistance, meals, cleaning, to reduce stress of single parents who don't have as much help, and allow them more time to heal and more time with their children. It's called Michelle's Love. They care for strangers who are in need, and these patients quickly become neighbors, become family. Immediately, as cancer clearly affects so many without regard to age or gender or social status or season of life or race or anything like that. I know this group well because I was diagnosed with cancer in August of 2022. And as I did not work for 3 months while recovering from surgery, the helpers from Michelle's Love came to my door, and they brought so many meals in these green bags, and they paid 3 months of my rent. I've now been cancer-free for 2.5 years, so we're good. We're honored to call for that. So I personally and my family, we are so grateful for the kindness of strangers who allowed me to focus on healing and on my children instead of on financial concerns and making ends meet. We also heard from Project Homeless Connect just a few moments ago, and I really didn't know very much about all of you, and we are so excited to partner with you and to learn more and more and to check out Yellow House and just to see how all that service to our community works. Imagine if there were not people like that and organizations like that in our community. Like the injured man who was left for dead, in the parable we read today, have you ever been in a situation where you needed help and the person standing above you in the pit or in the ditch was a stranger, and it was not the person that you expected to be standing there? So that leads us to ask, who is my neighbor anyway? When Jesus continues telling this story, he tells the lawyer that not only did the Samaritan spend the night with this man and care for him, but then paid the innkeeper to care for him and promised to return with some reimbursement. Now, completely redirecting the lawyer's question, Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the lawyer answered, the one who had mercy on him. He cannot even say the word Samaritan, can he? The neighbor here is no longer the object, but the subject. And he's no longer the receiver of love, but the giver. Jesus has completely turned that around. This has been a very quick week for me. Every day I wake up and say, this is crazy, right? And Todd's like, this is crazy. And that's about, I don't really know how else to verbalize that yet, but it's been a quick week of learning too. I had to dive right in, and this is like my fourth day of work. So here we are, but this is the best day so far. And in the midst of making a lot of decisions, I also asked a lot of questions. And my go-to is our wonderful office manager, Nancy. She's hiding her face. But sometimes Nancy wouldn't even know the answer. And she would stop and go, well, I don't know. And we would just laugh. And it was okay, and I can tell that we're gonna work wonderfully and seamlessly together. And she does hold a lot together. We like to have really clear answers to our questions, don't we? We like things to be defined and straightforward and easy to understand, and we like to know what's right and wrong, and we like to know which path to take and what decision to make. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Jesus doesn't give a lot of direct answers in Scripture. So often he asks a question, or he invites the questioner to respond. Other times he leaves something open to interpretation, like the time he told the disciples, well, I have food you know nothing about. Do you remember that passage? He was actually talking with a Samaritan woman at the time. And while his disciples were looking at one another like, well, where did he get food? Who brought him food? Why don't we have food? He said his food was to do God's work. He doesn't answer directly. The Old Testament laid out things much more directly for us. And when we read of the law given to Moses, we read things like, and this is the Lord speaking, command the Israelites to put out of the camp everyone who is leprous and sick and unclean. You shall put out both male and female, put them outside the camp. They must not defile their camp where I dwell among them. If you were unclean or you had not followed the law, you were not only separated from your community, you were actually separated from the very presence of the Lord. The law separated. In contrast, Jesus invites us to love the stranger who's a neighbor. All these folks here, and there's some I didn't even, some friends I didn't even mention. They'll forgive me. He invites us to show mercy and grace. He invites us to welcome and invite and honor and love. God invites us in Christ to look beyond our categories, the dichotomies and binaries we've set up, our definitions of people and our understandings, and to see that God is so much bigger than all of that. And we'll explore how big God indeed is. God reminds us all the time. In this church, we follow Jesus. And we're also willing to admit sometimes there are hard things and there are not very clear answers. But we follow Jesus and we stick together and we welcome everyone and we love very hard. You all love hard, like love. We love hard, we speak love, and we show love. I invite you today to insert our church's name, HPC, and your name into this lawyer's answer, the one who had mercy on him. And if it sounds like too much of an oxymoron, like the Good Samaritan, then you and I probably have work to do. Amen.